And only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruz. If you want to call in for today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Today's a Tuesday. It's a day of politics. I have Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor Bryce Ward in the studio with me. How are you doing, sir?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
You know, it's fun talking with you. It's sort of like we have, like, Dr. Phil moments. I can't believe this is happening. Or what are we doing here? What do you think? You know, things like that. And so now you're looking at going into budget.
Yes.
How much fun can you have?
Oh, loads.
How does your process start?
So we actually start, Borough starts its budget process back in December. That's when we start looking at upcoming year. And just basically start having those conversations with departments, including the school district, on what we're expecting to see for the upcoming year. And then we go through a number of revisions and renditions of the budget. And about a week ago is when we finalize our numbers, which go to the assembly here first week in April.
So you're coming up on it.
Certainly, yeah. Lots of pre-work that we've been doing. And then April is really our work session with the assembly, the finance committee. So it'll be, I'm doing actually a State of the Borough on Tuesday, where we'll talk about accomplishments for the last year, talk about our goals and objectives for this upcoming year, release the budget, and then starting on Thursday of this next week, we're going to have a briefing from the CFO on the budget and kind of fiscal outlook of the borough, and then we jump right into work sessions on Saturday.
You know, I always know when it's your budget session, or season I should call it, because I live right behind the building, the borough building. And me and the dog were walking along, you know, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning on a weekend, and your parking lot is full of cars. I go, they're in budget, and therein it lies. What was last year's total budget number?
Last year was about $185 million.
Okay. And you have a tax cap? You can only grow so much per year?
We do. We have a tax revenue cap. And so for the Fairbanks North Star Borough, it's a lot of folks get it confused. A tax cap is kind of what everyone refers to it as, but it's actually the revenue of what we're allowed to generate from taxes. So last year, we were about $12 million under the tax cap. The year before that, I think we were about $10 million. So we've been doing pretty good.
You know, it's interesting with the rapid rise of assessed values.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that they're going to be taxed on that entire amount per se, but the mill rate may drop because you don't need the revenue.
Right. So if you look actually over the last 2 years, the mill rate's dropped by just about 2 mils.
Mm-hmm.
You know, folks say, well, I'm still paying the same amount of taxes. Well, that might be true. You know, depending on your valuation of your home, you may be paying more. But on the whole, when we look at the total value of all the borough land, when that number goes, land and improvements, when that number goes up because of the tax revenue cap, it pushes the revenue, or the rate, the mill rate down.
You know, it was funny. I started out life as an appraiser. And so
I'm sorry.
I know. No condolences from you, obviously. But
yeah,
anyway,
contractor, right? So,
yes, I know. I know you hate us. But this year, my home value went up significantly. I mean, significantly. And I knew it was going to happen. I've known the appraiser at the borough down there. You know, grew up with him. You know, when we played Little League. And so I called him over and I go, you know, the way I looked at my value, you came in $2,000 low. And he looked at me.
You told him that?
Yeah, yeah. And this other lady up at the counter goes, No one ever says that to us. That's so nice. Yeah. Yeah. You came in $2,000 below what I thought the value was. But you finally caught up, you know. So it takes them a while to catch up.
It does. It's really interesting when we look at the valuation process. As you know, being an appraiser, mm-hmm. it's a bit of a moving target. And what we really have is the biggest tool that our assessors use is comparable sales. And so, you know, over the last couple of years, we've had record numbers of transactions, especially with residential homes. And that sets really it's a good thing from an assessor perspective because it tells you here's what the market's doing. But, you know, folks might see, as you said, pretty big adjustments in their valuation.
You know, when Perry bought this building, you know, about 8 years ago or so, he came to me and I got the assessment down. You know, I showed that this is what you have it at, but it should be lower, you know, because actually, anyway, got it down significantly. So last year, Perry gets a new value, and he's, oh, I know how to do this. I learned from you, Prues. I know how to do this one. So he goes in there, and he comes out 30 minutes later, and they showed him the note that they recorded on it. You know, he wants it under the note. He goes, well, you got a note on it for this.
Yep.
So you have some value there. He just walks out and goes, oh, I didn't believe that. I didn't know they were so thorough. Yes, they are.
Yeah, so it's, you know, folks might, if you're in real estate, you know that we're in a non-disclosure state, meaning that type of real estate transaction is not openly shared.
Yeah.
But what you do have is, you know, if you take out a mortgage on a property, then that is recorded. You know, the deed of the interest is recorded by your lending institution, and that is recorded, that a dollar amount. So there's ways to get that information out there. You know, if you want to talk to an assessor or an appraiser, they're going to give you a lot of different reasons why disclosure is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's strong arguments for that, but I can understand why folks don't want that information out there.
Oh, yeah. You know, Alaska Municipal League, I'm on their board now. And our first meeting down in Juneau, when we were all down there, this is an issue that they're endorsing for, being a recording state.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they met my personality, no. And I said, look it, let the appraisers do their job. They have deeds of trust that are recorded on every property. And if you're doing a residential home, you can take a look and see if it's FHA, VA, or conventional, and you know what that sales price is. This is what they do. This is what they work on. You do not have to have them. This is the next thing is a tax stamp, state tax stamp. This is all you're setting up. Oh, no, we're not. Oh, yes, you are. You're opening up the door. Once you open up the door, you never get to close that door. Do not become that. So
tell me how you really feel.
Well, I want the assessor's office to earn their money and have their appraisers get out there and do what they're supposed to do. They don't have to, this does not have to be, sort of like turning in evidence against yourself. So my personal thought. But other than that, Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. In the studio with me, I have Mayor Bryce Ward. We're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Arctic RV is a proud sponsor of Shooter's Corner with your host, Laura Berkowitz, for the latest news and conversation in the world of guns and your Second Amendment rights. Arctic RV helps their customers exercise their personal freedoms by getting out to play in Alaska and staying there longer. Although they are closed for now, they reopen this spring on April 3rd. Alaska plays rough, so rough it in style with Arctic RV. Listen in every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, right here on KFAR.
Yes, Taco Thursday is a thing, and it happens every Thursday at Big Daddy's. Big Daddy's serves up the most amazing chicken tacos, complete with shredded cheese. These chicken tacos are delicious and filling, and you can enjoy them for just $1.50 each every Thursday at Big Daddy's Barbecue. And don't miss out on those sides as well, including fries, okra, baked beans. The menu is full of great ideas and great value. We'll see you for Chicken Taco Thursday at Big Daddy's on Wickersham between 1st and 2nd Avenues, the northernmost Southern Barbecue. Big Daddy's.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway, your steel outdoor power equipment dealer for Interior Alaska. See the full line of steel products at The Woodway today. The Alaskan way, the right way. The Woodway.
KFAR weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 35. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, lows level off around 9 above. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 34. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back in the studio here with Bryce Ward. We're talking about those evil appraisers that the contractor's lighting into me on. I apologize for our ilk to you, sir.
That's all right.
But anyway, going into budget week, what are, you know, you're going to have a lot of pressure from the school district. They're having some issues that are self-imposed at times. Their school membership is down. They did not do a good job, that's in the last 10 years. With the school portion, the education portion, they were more of the socialization portion. And there are enrollments now. And I've had Melissa sit in that seat many times, and easiest way to get more revenue is to get more students involved. So they're gonna be looking at coming to you for more money. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so with our budget process, what I've started doing since I've been in office is talking with the school administrator, superintendent, whoever's in that position, back in December and saying, hey, here's what I'm going to be doing for my budget. And I've spent a lot of time in the last year and a half looking at the education system. And, you know, it all started back, gosh, probably 3 years ago when the district said, you know, we're $17 million in the hole, or $15 million, I forget what it was at that time. And I went, you know, how can the district be so far off? How can there be that big of a hole in the district budget, especially when from the local level, our contribution's been basically stable or really very steady for the last, I mean, decade plus.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at the funding system, certainly BSA and enrollment are a big part of that. But the other big thing that we've been diving into is this understanding of the RLC, and that's the required local contribution. And it's a bit of a complicated kind of nut to crack, but it has a direct influence on what the district gets paid and what you pay as a taxpayer in the Fairbanks North Star Borough. And I think because of this system, it's been penalizing our district for a number of years, and it's kind of hidden.
We've talked about this.
Yeah, so it's if you look at my budget that's going to be coming out here in a week or so, my commitment, and I've been open with this with the district administration and the school board, is I'm going to put in there basically a hold harmless budget. So what that means is the amount that our RLC has increased in this last year is how much my increase will be. And what that does is, even though we're going to give them more money,
keeps it a solid baseline.
Well, they don't get any more. Because the state says your tax base grew by that amount, so you now have to contribute that much more. So last year, the difference between last year and this upcoming budget, the proposed budget, is $3.44 million. So our tax base grew by about 10%. And what that means is that our RLC has to increase by that same amount, or the district gets penalized because the state takes that out of the basic need formula that they use to fund the district.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit of a sticky wicket. You can say, gosh, we're paying an extra almost $3.5 million, and the district's not getting any more money. Exactly. We're saving the state money, but it comes at the cost of our local taxpayers.
There you go. Should be an interesting evening at the Borough Assembly.
It will be. We've already had the school board came and discussed, I guess members of the school board came and had conversation with us last Thursday, and they said, we're going to see more of us, because I think their approved budget is several million dollars over what my budget recommendation is going to be. So that's your local tax. I mean, that is your taxpayer dollars that go into funding the education. It is the biggest thing that we fund every year.
You know, it's interesting when you have a meeting. The Mancho, and oh my goodness, that's like throwing the hand grenade in the 50-gallon drum of gas, and there it goes and see what happens. You had two meetings on it. How much time did that take up in each meeting?
You know, I think we had roughly 3 hours of testimony on the first night. And then because it had been reconsidered on our second meeting, there wasn't a second public hearing for it. So mm-hmm. Testimony was limited to an hour during the 6 to 7 o'clock timeline. And then we had the citizens' comments follow up after that. So, you know, and the assembly debated it for quite some time, too. So we probably had 4, 5, 6 hours into that whole resolution by the time it was said and done.
That's a lot of time.
Over a couple days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of time. And as you know, it's pretty pretty contentious out there with folks in the community. I think, you know, the assembly did work on it pretty diligently and came up with something that a majority of the assembly agreed with and addresses, at least acknowledges, the concerns that are out there that we heard from the public on.
Okay. You know, it's interesting, as they've not completed their studies yet, so the safety committee still has to look at that once the studies are done. So it's just the first chapter.
Yeah, you know, actually I'd love to take a moment to talk about that. Mm-hmm. So the technical advisory committee for the Richardson Highway Corridor study was certainly talked about a lot, and folks have talked about that as kind of like a safety study. And what it is, it's the highway specific. So it's Richardson Highway specific. It's what they call a corridor study. And so they look at the entire length, and this is a very long length. It's mm-hmm. normally those corridor studies are not this big. But they look at access points. They look at how the particular piece of infrastructure is utilized. This particular section has areas of poor road base. They've got some bridges in there. So the study looks at that from kind of a comprehensive perspective. How is that stretch being used? And then what are the improvements that need to be done to improve the safety of that? And they'll look at big factors. So, you know, the trucking project is certainly a factor that's going to weigh in to the corridor study, but it's not specific to the trucking piece. It's going to be a part of it, but that's not the entire thing.
There's no easy button, is there?
There sure isn't.
They're having a mayor's ball.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Are you going to go?
Definitely. I'll be there.
Okay, so will I. And that's I've got Alyssa with the organization.
United Way.
And she'll be in next Friday to talk about it. It sounds like it's going to be a heck of an event.
Yes. It's been a couple of years since they've done this.
Yeah.
I think I was actually, I don't think I was the borough mayor the last time that they did this. So
that was a while ago, Bryce.
Yeah, I know.
You're the North Pole mayor?
Oh, gosh, I'm getting a little old here.
Yes,
I think,
you are. we're tracking your political history.
All right. So, but yeah, it should be a great event.
Okay. Well, that's coming up. Your Parks and Rec, you know, it's interesting. The Fairbanks North Star Borough has such crown jewels.
Mm-hmm.
The Tanau Lakes Complex, the Birch Hill Complex, the Chena Lakes Complex, the different hiking trails that are available. It's very encompassing and incredible.
It really is, and it's remarkable what our staff is able to do and to have so many of these amazing features here in town. I mean, when I was a kid, I remember Chena Lakes being just packed all the time, every day of the summer. And when it was nice out, it was like triple packed. And we have basically, I mean, it feels like the same amount of people doing both now. We've got Chena Lakes and Tanana Lake lakes that are packed like that. It's just a great resource. We had the Junior Nationals here in town. Was that last week or the week before?
Week before, yeah.
And
a couple national champions from our area here.
Yeah, and you know, folks comment on our facilities here in town and how they're world class. And you know, we've got world class people working on these things. Of course, Birch Hill is run by the Nordic Ski Club and their cadre of volunteers. We've got a number of folks that help support the staff here at the borough and the Parks and Rec Department around the community. And it's really neat to have that here in Fairbanks and be able to share that with the public.
You also upgraded the shooting range out here.
We did.
It started out not too good. You asked to come on last year to sort of smooth that over. I, of course, come on, Miren. You know, you've got a lot of shooters mad.
You know, I'm hoping that folks are getting accustomed to it. I know there was certainly some concerns about the lanes and about usage. We've got some good feedback from folks that said, hey, here's a few things I would do. Though we're moving forward with a project now to try to get the area paved. Mm-hmm. So for folks that have used the facility, you know, in the summertime it can get pretty dusty with folks coming in and out of the parking lot there. So we've got a project using some remaining funds to do that. But overall, you know, I think the facility, it's really a great improvement. Knock on wood, we've got folks that seem to be folks that are following the rules and they're not abusing that place. Unfortunately, we did have an event about a week and a half ago where some folks went out in the Tanana Lakes area and we just had those new outhouses put in and they shot up the doors and shot a bunch of signs with some sort of shotgun. For the most part, our community understands and respects that. You know, that was paid for with your public money.
Yeah.
Whether it be taxes that you pay through your ammunition for the shooting range, or whether it be through other sources or your local tax dollars.
Yeah.
So, you know, I ask folks, please treat it with respect. And if you see folks abusing it, please report it.
It's a crown jewel.
It is.
Treat it that way. It really is. And where else can you go? What other place in America can you go into a borough, a municipal park, and shoot ducks?
Right?
I mean, and everyone came together and said, we're all going to do this. We're going to have ice skating, ice fishing, duck hunting, cross-country skiing, a shooting range.
off-road park, we've got that as well.
Sorry for keeping it, you know, not all the parts and components in there, my goodness. But that's just a great place. And in the summer, Birch Hill, it's great for... You have the frisbee golf. Mm-hmm. You have people on mountain bikes up there. You have me and my dog on hiking up there. You know, I do 2.5-3 kilometers, and he does 12. You know, the way he runs around me and everything like that. So, it's a mile out of town.
Yep, it's amazing. You know how these resources are so close to us.
Yeah.
We're so fortunate. And, fortunately, we've had good folks that have thought about this and, you know, said this area is going to be designated for a public purpose. It's going to have these kind of amenities and accoutrements. And, yeah, I mean, I remember Tanana Lakes when I was a kid growing up. That was where, you know, the old wrecked out, burned out car hulks were.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, dump something off and you'd never have to worry about it again.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little sketchy. And, you know, we've completely revitalized that entire area. And like you said, it is now a jewel for Fairbanks and the entire borough.
There you go. And you have a trail quest. You know, you get on the Parks and Rec map there. You have the winter quest. You have the summer quest. Go hike these trails and enjoy yourself. There, you have some in town. You have some out in the White Mountains almost and stuff like that. You have them all. You have Fairbanks North Star Borough has something for everyone to go enjoy on every day.
Yep.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break here. The bumper music I'm going to give you, I have no idea what it is. I did not choose this. It's Joe Satriani. Summer song. I'm sure once we hear the bumper music, we'll understand it. Then we're going to go into some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather, and we'll be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Nashville Police Chief John Drake says the 28-year-old woman who shot and killed three children and three adults at a Christian school yesterday bought her guns legally.
We found that she had purchased seven firearms from five local gun stores.
Chief Drake says three of those guns, including two assault-style rifles, were used in yesterday's shooting. President Biden today reiterating his call for an assault weapons ban.
I have gone the full extent of my executive authority.
Congressional Republicans have opposed such a ban. A federal judge today ordering former Vice President Mike Pence to testify before a grand jury about conversations he had with former President Trump over alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election. A Pence spokesperson says the former vice president is evaluating his options. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks North Star Borough adopted a formal resolution Thursday in support of a veteran cemetery in Interior Alaska. The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports the resolution, sponsored by Assemblymember Tammy Wilson, also calls for the release of $16 million in federal funding for the project. Wilson noted Alaska only has two veteran cemeteries, one on Sitka and the other on Fort Richardson at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. In order to access the closest one, we would have to go down to Fort Richardson and get on base, which is difficult to do in order to utilize that cemetery and bury our veterans, Wilson said. We would not have that issue here. Governor Mike Dunleavy included $1.1 million in funds in his fiscal year 2024 capital budget to match the additional $6 million in federal funds that would be earmarked for the project. According to the capital budget request, additional money has been allocated to the project, most of it from federal grants. The project was originally budgeted at $8 million, but according to Dunleavy's budget request, costs jumped to $16.1 million due to supply chain issues and inflation.
Online at KFAR660.com.
Large pepperoni pizzas every day, fresh and fast, at Great Alaska Pizza Company for only $10.99. Alaska's best pizza value all day, every day. Large pepperoni pizzas only $10.99. Carry out only.
The Great Alaska Pizza Company.
When times are good, you should advertise your business. When times are tough, you must advertise your business. And when it comes to getting the word out, nothing works better than local radio. It reaches more people on a daily basis than TV, newspapers, and even social media combined. And it's way more affordable than you think. So if you are not using local radio to get your word out and keep your business top of mind, you're missing out. But we can help. We are Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Some amazing things happened in 1904. The underground line of the New York City subway opened, the U.S. Army engineers began work on the Panama Canal, and here in Fairbanks, Samson Hardware opened their doors for the very first time. Since that day, Samson Hardware has helped Fairbanks with their building and home projects from start to finish. They are an institution in Fairbanks. They have an extremely knowledgeable and personal staff and hard-to-find items you can't find anywhere else here in the Golden Heart City. The reason Samson Hardware has been helping Fairbanks since 1904 is because they helped build Fairbanks. Stop by and let them help you as well. Samson Hardware.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Bryce Ward, Mayor, Fairbanks North Star Borough, in the studio here with me. Enjoying yourself, I hope.
Absolutely.
Now, also, you have an idea that I just thought was exceptional for recreational subdivisions.
Yes. Well, you want to talk more?
Go ahead and lead us on. This is on your side of the equation.
Perfect. So what we're looking at is we've got land all over the place. So when you become a borough, you get what they call entitlement land or municipal entitlement land. And the idea is that this land is used to help support the development of your community, whether it be in recreational purposes, public purposes, or, you know, to subdivide and sell and generate some income. So we have a few parcels of land that we've identified for a remote recreational cabin site. And we got authorization from the assembly to pursue open houses. We've got two locations. There's one out on Chena Hot Springs Road, very close to the resort. And then we've got another one out kind of on the west fork of the Chattanooga, out off of the Steese. And the Elliott kind of out, I think it's Himalaya, goes out that way. There's a logging road or a dozer line that gets punched in, got punched in about 10 years ago. And so what we're looking at is being able to subdivide and develop those areas for recreational uses. And, you know, we don't have a lot of these type of subdivisions in the borough. Most of our kind of larger track subdivisions are all in the urbanized area. This would not have road access. It would be kind of trail access only. And then we're looking at, I'm in the process of developing a zoning code that would take this into consideration. And so the idea is that if you do this kind of rec site, that it truly be recreational cabins. So it's, you know, cabins and yurts and tents, not folks like living out there full time, multifamily housing and stuff like that. It's meant to be recreational. There'd be large tracts of land, you know, 5-10 acre parcels. We want to make it go through our public sales process once we get these, if we can get the thumbs up from the assembly, and then, you know, make them available to the public. So if you want to go down and buy a slice of Alaska, buy a slice of heaven, put up a tent platform or put up a cabin, you got a chance to do that. And then, you know, granted, we're not thinking that they're going to have road access.
Would the cabin have a wood stove?
And you're outside the non-attainment area.
Had to throw
so,
that out.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But, we've got these great resources. The borough has literally tens of thousands of acres of land. And we've got some of these areas where they're just prime for this type of development, make it available for the public. We want folks to get out there and enjoy. My family, growing up, we've had a cabin out Chino Hot Springs Road area. A family cabin, and just so many good memories out there. I get to take my boys out there now. We're now finishing the cabin after 30 years. But that's the story of Alaska, right? That's
it's never done. It's never over, and little by little, but you still use it and enjoy it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I remember camping out there with the Visqueen walls back when we were, you know, young scouts, and now our kids, the walls are done, but we still get to enjoy it. So I think it'd be great to make this available for folks to be able to own a piece.
The EPA came out with some very critical items in regards to our PM 2.5. They had some changes to our plan. We're both on the fast planning, and what got me about it was 86% of the issue is from wood stoves, but they went after our heating infrastructure that has very little to do with the PM 2.5 issue.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the challenges that we have with the EPA, as folks know, we're about 10 years down the cycle, actually a little bit over 10 years down the process here. We haven't got to where the EPA wants the standard to be, the micrograms per meter output or you know, whatever the air quality is. It's not at the standard it should be. And the EPA is really limited in what they can do. And so the state had to put together a serious SIP, a plan of how we're going to get to attainment. And the EPA disapproved portions of it because they said they weren't strict enough. The rule when you get to this point in time is that you're supposed to do everything that anyone has ever done unless you can prove that you can't. And the methodology that the state used for some of those things, they said, wasn't good enough. One of them is to go to ULSD for home heating fuel. And there's been a lot of different numbers out there about what the cost differential would be. I don't know all the math and science. I'm just the contractor guy, mayor guy here. But when I look at, you know, the cost of ULSD at the pump, you know, right now, I think it's, what, $4.85. Most places here in Fairbanks.
And diesel's $3.55.
Or $3.45, I think, when I just came in here.
Yeah.
So, or even, you know, somewhere in that neighborhood. So there's what is that, $1.50 a gallon difference?
Yeah.
That's substantial. And what we know is the reason why people use wood, I mean, there's certainly, the individualism, I'm an Alaskan, I'm going to do what I can to provide for myself, but then also it's a cost factor. And so when you drive up the cost of heating and the cost to live here, folks are going to resort to other means.
Alternative methods.
Right. And it's the same principle when we talk about, you know, the impact on the power plants and the other industrial and commercial things that the EPA does regulate. And they're, you know, holding their feet to the fire saying that you've got to do these control measures. when we know, you know, statistically, it, you know, is it a good thing to do? Sure. Okay. You know, the as clean as you can make a power plant is a good thing. But it comes at a cost. And who ends up paying it? It's you and me.
The ratepayer.
And the ratepayers. And so when we look at cost of heating, cost of electricity, all those things going up quite astronomically to make these things happen, they don't actually get us to where we want to go. And I think in my message, my testimony to the EPA hearing was, these things don't work in Fairbanks because it's going to drive up the cost of energy, which is going to drive people to resort to other means to keep their houses warm and to keep food on the table. And so we have got to have flexibility to address the issue, which we strongly believe. I think there's, you know, good evidence that shows that wood smoke is a majority of the issue in Fairbanks and North Pole. And so, you know, that is where we need to be putting our energy into making sure that if you are going to be burning, you're going to be doing it as cleanly and efficiently as possible. And if we are going to have a burn day, a no burn day, that we keep those as small as possible, which means we all have to be doing this together.
True. You also had a issue with the assembly in regards to when people subdivide their property, if there's any foreseeable trail that is either planned or could be planned, and you'll correct this issue. I don't follow it like you have to. But
I don't follow the city that closely.
Yeah, exactly. So. I stay in my lane.
No harm, no foul.
Yeah,
right?
I was trying to, you know, characterize the issue, but it's quite contentious at the Borough Assembly.
Yeah.
And where's that at right now?
Yeah, so a couple years ago, we started doing a revision on the trails plan. And so what the trails plan is it's like one of our major comprehensive plan elements. So we've got trails, we got roads, and we got the comp plan itself. And the trails plan outlines these key connector trails in the community that have a public interest. And so when we look at like our road network, we want to make sure that we have a connected road network, that you've got a safe and secure way to get from point A to point B that's not going to be causing huge traffic jams. So that's where we identify like arterial connectors, local connectors, different things like that. So on the trails plan, I'm trying to draw the parallel here. These trails are of a public significance, and then we go through this big process to identify where those trails are, or at least to draw the connecting piece of it. And so just like with the roads plan, the trail might not be exact, but it's we need to be able to get from here to here, and there may or may not be egress or access points, right-of-way dedications in here, but this is a connector that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the trails plan does is it identifies those class A and B trails that the borough is allowed to be able to work on to secure. And in the past, we haven't had funding to go out and actively secure these trail easements. We do have that now through the capital improvement program. The borough assembly has been putting a little bit of money aside, a couple hundred thousand a year, to work on trail improvements and work on these connectors. The piece I think that's contentious is that if this trail is shown on your property, one of these class A or B trails has to go through this public process, but if they're on your property and you choose to subdivide, then you have to grant a dedication of that trail somewhere on your property or to make that connection. So it could be that it goes, you know, the trail is mapped to go through the center of your property and then you choose to subdivide. You can keep it aligned. You can move it to another boundary. You can reroute it, or you can ask for a variance. That has happened. But I think the big concern that the assembly has is that's a required dedication at subdivision. And so just like a road corridor, it's treated the same, and folks have a problem with that. And so it was referred back to the platting board for them to say, hey, can you come up with some different options of how we could address this without negatively impacting the property owner so much? So I'm not sure if it's going up here in May or April, but it'll go back to the platting board. Platting board has Title 17 authority, so they do, you know, they can make recommended changes to Title 17 And I think that's what the assembly is looking for is, hey, you guys that do this every day, which is great. Let's use our boards and commissions. What are your thoughts on how we can address the concern here? But this has been on the books. I mean, that's the other thing that's, a little bit, I think maybe frustrating for some folks is this has been on the books for about 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
And
all of a sudden it raises its head.
What's that?
All of a sudden it raises its head.
Right. So, I mean, with an update in the plan, I can understand that. You know, we go through a lot to try to move those trails onto public property so they're not impacting private property. But, you know, it does happen, right? And some of those connections don't have easements. They don't have any kind of guarantee. So we really need to work with the landowner on that. And, I think the argument is it's government coming in and telling us what to do. And, you know, I'll acknowledge it is. We're coming in and saying, hey, this is important to the community and we've got to secure this easement. And if you're going to subdivide, again, we don't do it unless you're going to subdivide. So if you never subdivide,
You're fine.
But it's your land. And I think the assembly's point was, you know, you should have the right and the freedom to do that. So, it's one of those challenges. I think, you know, the reason why we do have some issues with connection, but we don't have as many as we could because we've been doing this for a number of years. So it's a challenge. We'll see what the platting board says. They could come up with some great idea on how to address this and make everyone happy. In my experience, that doesn't happen.
I was going to say, good luck with that.
But we'll see.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Show your love for ice fishing. Enter the Frontier Outfitters Ice Fishing Photo Contest. You can win a $50 gift card every Monday. It's easy. Just upload your favorite ice fishing photo to their Facebook page. Visit Frontier Outfitters for everything you need. Rods to tackle, augers to the right winter clothes. You love to fish? A little bit of ice won't get in your way. Upload your photos to Facebook by April 17th. Frontier Outfitters Ice Fishing Photo Contest. Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Hey Fairbanks, Denali Industrial Supply and DeWalt Tools would like to thank you for visiting them at the IABA Home Show. In case you missed it, the DeWalt Spring Sale continues through the end of April, but only while supplies last. So stop by Denali Industrial Supply and talk to their helpful sales staff to get the tools to make your projects quick and easy. These deals won't last long, and they're only at Denali Industrial Supply, your locally owned and operated DeWalt Tool headquarters. Denali Industrial Supply, 1499 Van Horn Road. Just look for the big red roof.
Fairbanks Princess Riverside Lodge is now hiring for the upcoming summer season. Have you been interested in working in the restaurant business or the travel industry? Now you can do both. Join a team that has a love for travel and meeting new people. We are actively hiring line cooks at $20 per hour, sous chefs at $22 per hour, and servers at $14 per hour. Earn a free cruise based on contract completion. Go to AlaskaTourJobs.com and apply today. Our team is waiting for your application, and we're eager to speak with you.
Weather This Hour brought to you by Long Building Technologies. Make your building the smartest around. Call Long today to find out about their building intelligence systems that will save you money. 561-3044. Or find out more at long.com.
KFAR Weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 35. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows level off around 9 above. Cloudy skies tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 34. Chance for snow Thursday and Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Mayor Bryce Ward in the studio with me here. You have the capital improvements program, and you started that yourself, that whole project, so you could have a dedicated amount of money going towards improvements and new capital projects, a formula, so to speak, versus
right.
we're not doing anything, we're waiting for the state to fix it.
Yep.
So you implemented that. And you have certainty in there. We have a phone call for you. How about that?
All right.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Mayor Bryce Ward, and your name is?
Morning, this is Al.
Hello, Al.
Since you're on trails, I'm curious on what the mayor's thought process or the justification of discriminating on uses in the recreational areas. You have Birch Hill, which we pay for electricity and a warm-up shack up there continually, and we don't charge a fee for access for those use of trails, yet we charge somebody that wants to go ice fishing on Chena Lakes and rent an ice house for $30 a day. And I don't see how you discriminate against those users like that.
Yeah, it's a good question. So as part of the budget in this upcoming year, we've got something called a cost recovery model where we look at basically tiered response to level of service. And so we're certainly going to be looking at that a little bit more closely on whether it be pools or parks or, you know, whatever the service is. Is it aligned? Are we recovering the amount of money that we expect to in the fees that are generated? Now, Birch Hill in particular is a little bit of a nuanced situation because we have a relationship with the Nordic Ski Club. Mm-hmm. So we do pay for basically the major infrastructure, but the maintenance piece of it, we only have like a half a person that's assigned to that facility. The rest of that, all the trail grooming, most of that trail maintenance work is done by the Nordic Ski Club. So in a way, I mean, we're not charging a fee per se, but the taxpayer's not paying for those services that they otherwise would pay borough staff for. And we've got a number of other organizations that we partner with, the baseball fields, the soccer fields, the softball fields that are similar to that, where they don't necessarily pay a set fee, but yet they're doing maintenance work that borough staff otherwise would be doing, and it's still available to the public.
So potentially what we would look for then is somebody to maintain a couple ice houses and put them on and off the ice and maybe supply firewood or not.
Yeah, someone like the laundry house gang.
Well, kind of interesting to supply firewood.
and out of Birch Lake, it's outside the attainment area. Al, you take care, buddy. We'll see you later. Thank you for the phone call. Yeah, outside the attainment area there.
Yeah, good questions. You know, and this is something if folks are going to be interested in, you know, going to one of our Saturday work sessions, mm-hmm. You can certainly hear more about in April on the cost or the fees that we charge for different services in the borough. And as was mentioned, you know, there's different fees. We have an ice hut fee. There's you want to go skating at the Big Dipper or Carlson Center, there's a fee, you know, but where to swimming, fill in the blank, right? One of the things that we do in the borough there, for most of it, there's a fee associated with it. And where do those numbers come from? How is that calculated? What is the recovery rate on those? And that's something that we're diving into. And this, they call it a cost recovery model. It's like a pyramid kind of approach, mm-hmm. Where you've got different levels. So it's your lowest level, they're the highest community benefit, which means you have the lowest subsidy, which means the fee is going to be really small, versus the top tier, which is very individualized, and you're going to pay, you should be paying essentially market rate for whatever it is that you're doing. And we've got stuff that falls in the full spectrum on that.
Your capital improvement program, what were your budgetary nominations looking like?
So we do a biennial update, meaning that we update it every 2 years. We have to go through every year and recertify it with the assembly. So we just did that here about a month. It was in February. So not a lot changes per se in that interim year. We're coming up on a full rewrite where basically all of the projects except for what's in the work plan have to be renominated and rescored. But it's been a really great tool for us to help prioritize what is important for us as a community. And then what do we do with the limited funds that we have for those projects? And, you know, this has been, we've always had a capital improvement program of some kind. But usually it was like a note or a spreadsheet that didn't necessarily track fiscal constraint. So you've got a big list of projects, but you got no way to pay for it, or you've got no plan or schedule. The CIP is really intended to do that, is to lay it out over time and say, here's the things that we can realistically fund. And it does this for 10 years. So it takes an assumption of what you're going to contribute for 10 years and then looks at what What are you going to be doing? What projects are you going to be doing? And we've got a number of projects that we're going to be starting on this year that were approved in prior CIPs.
What are you doing this year?
So this year we've got a big project going on at the Nolene Library. It's a full renovation. And so folks that are regular library users have probably seen the notices go out. That is actually going to start here in April and May, and then construction is going to take about 8 to 9 months. So it'll put us about a year out. And it's going to be, you know, the bathrooms are getting updated. There's actually going to be a teen room added. All the finishings and kind of interior will be redone. They're actually going to add like a little cafe space in there. I think it's just, it's going to be a great project. That starts here in the next month or so. We've got the transit facility, which is being built out there on Lathrop. That's to replace the Pegger Road facility that was, that started last year. Westcott Pool is going to be closed here in the next month and a half or so for about a year. And we're doing a full renovation of Westcott. Westcott's going to have the locker rooms are going to be completely redone. The pool deck, not the pool deck, but the pool plaster, it's going to get a repaired roof. The roof's going to be repaired. Mechanical system upgrades. Basically, we're adding another 15 to 20 years of life to that pool. So that's going to be shut down starting this year. And then we were just talking about Tanana Lakes a little bit ago. We finally got the approval and the bid award went out for the new entrance to be constructed off South Lathrop. So if you've ever tried to come in that way, you know, there's a big block and it says, you know, don't go, you can't go this way. And there's a gate and it's a really weird offset. They're realigning South Lathrop to where that'll be the new main entrance for Tanana Lakes. And that was paid for almost entirely through federal lands and other federal grants that we have been applying for over the last like 7 years. So a number of, and those are all tens of millions of dollar projects. I think the Tanana Lakes was $8 million. Nolene Library is 10, 11. Westcott's 10, 11. We're doing this without, I mean, we've got some support coming in through federal grants, but through the capital improvement program and the money that our taxpayers have been putting aside, we're actually getting after some of these maintenance issues. And Nolene Library and Westcott are specifically two maintenance projects.
We got about a minute and a half left, sir. How do you want to end it?
Would encourage folks to get connected and get informed on what's going on. There's a lot happening with the assembly right now. Budget is the big time of year for us. So if you are interested, Saturday sessions start. I think it's 9 a.m.
They can sit at home, drink coffee, and listen to it online.
You can. Yeah. And, you know, it's a great way to learn more about your community, what's happening.
You have a specific time frame in your budget. And when do you have to certify your budget?
So we need to have our budget done by the end of May, and then the next big timeline is mid-June. We have to have our mill levies set. So first thing we do is the budget, the dollars, and then the mill levy piece comes after the certified values. But that's really the big piece. That's where we know, you know, how much your tax bill will actually be based on the budget and then the valuations that we got for the last year.
Okay. So you're just coming into it.
We are. We're just getting started.
Again. Every Saturday through April, there you are.
Pretty much, and then we have public hearings in May. So,
okay. Mayor Ward, thank you very much for coming here today and making yourself available and having a good discussion in front of all of Fairbanks. Fairbanks, tomorrow I'll have Joni Skillbred. She is our resident historian. She's the last Wednesday of every month. And then on Friday I'll have Brad Keithley on. We're going to talk about economics, the state budget, what it does, what it doesn't do, and Brad will be all over how we don't have a full dividend. And always a good discussion. I will see you tomorrow.